Our scripture lesson this morning are the first 24 verses of Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. And therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whosoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein. And say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But into whose whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto you, Chorazin! Woe unto you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me. And he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. So far the reading of God's Word. Our text is verse 10. Verse 16, chapter 10, verse 16. He that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. May God add his blessing to the reading and the preaching of his word. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, Luke is the only gospel writer that gives this account of the sending out of the 70. Earlier, Luke has the sending out of the 12 into Galilee. And then in the end of chapter 9, he has Jesus sending out messengers to Samaria. They were to go out and to prepare the people for Jesus coming to them. And in Samaria, because Jesus is merely passing on, he is passing on to Jerusalem, the Samaritans don't want to come out to Jesus. And now, as Jesus is preparing in the last 6 months to go down into what's called Transjordan area, Judah and Perea, because the task is so large, he sends out 70. They are to prepare the people for the coming of Jesus Christ. What this passage talks about is the honor, the receiving of these 70. They are ambassadors of Christ Jesus. They come with His message, with His miracles. They are preparing hearts for Christ Jesus. What honor belongs to them. What an obligation to receive these 70. Shame on those, the dust of that city is shaken off their feet, of those who will not receive these laborers of Jesus Christ. While this passage is usually taken for the sending out of missionaries, I want to apply it as citizens of the kingdom, apply it to these helpers, these laborers that Christ has commissioned again this morning in our congregation. They are ones who are to labor for the hearts and the lives that we may receive Jesus Christ. We may live for Him. And especially this passage lays before us the punishment that awaits those who do not receive these labors but reject them and the message that they bring. The cities of Galilee where Jesus did most of His labors. Woe unto you, Jesus says. Jesus worked there. He made His hometown Capernaum. Woe unto you. If the work and the message that had been brought to Sidon and Tyre, heathen cities to the north, if it had come to there, they would have repented long ago. What a greater responsibility comes now upon them. Because Jesus did His mighty works and brought His message there, and many of them rejected Him. Same with Samaria. And the same to Judea and Perea, where these 70 messengers are going to go out. woe unto them if they are not received. And woe also unto us, whom God has given this gift again this morning. He's given us these men to serve as laborers and to send as those who are representatives of Christ Jesus. Pastors, elders, and ministers, representing Christ Jesus, the great office bearer, our only chief prophet, our priest, and our king. But along with the warning, our passage concludes with great joy, doesn't it? The joy that these men had in their labors when they saw the kingdom of darkness repelled. And the joy of Jesus Christ in those labors. The joy of Jesus Christ who sent them. So my theme is receiving the representatives of Christ. And that phrase was used twice in the installation form this morning. Receive these men, these elders and these deacons, receiving representatives of Christ, who they are receiving them and the message that they bring, and the great joy. We read in Luke 10 that there are 70 that are sent out. More modern translations have 72 because they look at different manuscripts that they judge to be superior. The judgment is out there, whether it's 70 or 72. It does not make really much difference. I take the 70 that we read in our King James Version. These 70 are members of the group that had been following Jesus from Galilee, now down to Samaria and then into the Transjordan area. Jesus, the antitype of Moses, sends out these 70. What's the similarity? Moses is the mediator of the Old Covenant. And when the labor was too much for him, Moses listens to his father-in-law, Jethro, who says, appoint elders to help you. And Moses appoints 70 elders who will help him rule the congregation. And now the tremendous labors that set before Jesus in the last 6 months of his life, he is going to the cross, he's going to Jerusalem, and all these cities need to be reached. The labor is too much for him, and he is pleased to use these 70 laborers for the kingdom. They are to go out two by two. They go out two by two so that they may help and encourage one another in their labors. For they go out as lambs amongst wolves. They are not always received well. In fact, quite often they are not. But they go out two by two not only to help and assist each other, but they all go out two by two so that by the testimony of two witnesses, the truth is established. This morning we have the plurality of elders and deacons. We can thank God that we do not have a tyranny of the church, of a pastor who rules the church, or just a very few. But through the good counsel of elders and deacons, along with pastor, Christ rules his church. What is important of these 70 is that we read that the Lord, verse 1, appointed and sent them out. These temporary laborers do not just take this task upon themselves. I want to do this. But they are appointed and they are sent out by Christ Jesus. And those whom Christ appoints and sends out as His representatives, He will also equip. He will also qualify them. He ordains them into the office. So it's not just a vote of the congregation. It's not those who the elders and the deacons desire and put into office. It is important for us to notice it is Christ who has ordained and who has sent these men, set them before your representatives of Christ Jesus. Hear them. They are ambassadors of Christ. They don't come with their own ideas, but they are to come with the Word of God in their hands as they go from house to house, as they speak from the pulpit, as they come to the poor with comfortable words of Scripture. They are ambassadors of Christ. They bring His message. They represent Christ Jesus. Yes, these were temporary laborers, just as you men are temporary laborers. We don't read of these 70 later on in the Gospels. 3 years. The Lord is calling you now to give again, some of you the first time, for the cause of the kingdom, for the glory of His name. They are temporary laborers, not loafers. Not just in name, going to some meetings, but who are diligent in prayer, diligent in studying the Word, diligent in watching over as watchmen on the walls of Zion, God's people. Diligent in looking at the needs of each of God's saints working in the field of harvest. A field that is white, ready for harvest. We notice something else about those who are to be received. Receive these, Christ says in our text, verse 16. Who are they? They are ones who have an urgent task. They stand in sharp contrast to would-be followers of Jesus that we read about in the end of Luke chapter 9. In verse 57, Luke 9, verse 57, there's a man who says, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." Oh, that sounds good of that man. He saw the crowds, he saw the miracles, he saw the enthusiasm, and it seemed to be good to be closely associated with the one who was the very center of this whole attraction. Yes, we'll go with you wherever you go. They sought the prestige of Jesus' mission. I can remember a young man who wanted to become a minister, and I asked him why, and he says, "Because everyone likes you." He and this man in Luke 9, verse 57, failed to realize the implications of discipleship. Self-denial. Sacrifice. Service. And yes, suffering. I follow wherever you go, and Jesus warns them, there's a cross. Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay down His head. There's another follower in Luke 9. He says, "Allow first for me to bury my father." He was impressed with Jesus. He wanted to be a steady follower of Jesus, but he wasn't ready to take that step immediately. There was delay. He's saying, "Let me stay home with my father who was ill, who was getting older. Let me take care of him and those responsibilities and finally bury him. And then I will follow." He wants to follow on his own terms and his own time. Christ says, "No, Christ and His kingdom must be first priority. There was a third follower, would-be follower of Jesus. He says, "Permit me to say goodbye to the folks at home." Now that seems at first to be a reasonable request. But Jesus says, no. There is urgency in being a leader and laboring for the Lord, being a representative. No looking back, no divided heart. Come follow. All those would-be followers failed to give undivided attention to the task. Failure to render to Christ the unselfish devotion of the heart. Failure to allow Christ to have the preeminence in their lives. And over against those would-be followers, now in chapter 10, we have 70 followers because the harvest is plentiful. There is much work to do. These laborers must not delay. They must not wait for the end of the month to finally catch up on their labors to do the work they were supposed to do. But rather they were to travel light, carrying no money bags or provisions or extra shoes. Don't stop on the way for lengthy conversations or well-wishing, exchanging greetings. Urgency. Urgency, men. Urgency in your task. The harvest is plentiful. You represented Jesus Christ, no divided loyalties. Serving the church doesn't come last in the week for whatever time you have to give to it. You're called to this labor, urgency with it. It's no easy task. For Jesus says of these 70, you're sent out as lambs amongst the wolves. Now, yes, these 70 went into the Transjordan area. There were the Jews in Judea and Perea, but there were also many Gentiles. There would be those that would oppose them. Perhaps you say, well, that's quite different, isn't it, Pastor? Because we're set here over the Church of Jesus Christ. Remember, Judea was the Old Testament church yet. Yes, there was much apostasy there. But even in the church, lambs amongst wolves. Just remember, the sheep are not all gentle. Sometimes the sheep fight with each other. Some of the sheep have even horns. But you're set as those who go amongst the sheep in the love of Christ Jesus, with the patience of Christ Jesus, caring for their souls. And for that task, don't look to yourself then for the patience, the humility, but look to the one who sends you. How patient Jesus Christ is with every one of us. Oh, how humble when He is rebuked. On the cross, He utters not another word to them. Look to the one who sends you. And Church of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, when He's sending out these 70, the field is white unto harvest. Pray for the laborers. Pray that there may be these laborers. Church of Jesus Christ, pray for these laborers, these representatives of Christ. A tremendous task. A humanly impossible task. Caring for the Church of Jesus Christ. But Christ, through your prayers for them, will equip them and qualify them and use them as His laborers. That's what we need. Oh, that's what we need. Self-denying, Christ-loving, kingdom builders, those who love God's people. And now verse 16 says about these laborers, these representatives, receive them. He that heareth you, heareth me. They come with a message. That's what hearing is all about, isn't it? That's why the word is hear them. You honor them, you receive them by hearing them. And what are you going to hear them say? The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. We find that both in verse 9 and we find it in verse 11. The kingdom of God has come nigh to you who receive the gospel and believe and walk in faith. But the gospel also comes nigh to those who dismiss it, who hate it. Nevertheless, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. That is a very important phrase in the Gospel of Luke. It's used over 30 times in this gospel. Jesus begins his ministry with that phrase. In Luke's gospel, you have the angel who comes to Mary in chapter 1. And the angel says, his kingdom will never end. And then Jesus in Luke 4, verse 43 says, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God because of this purpose I was sent. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. That's the message they come to every city and every place where Jesus would come and prepare the people for the coming of Jesus Christ. How do they announce the kingdom of God? Both in speaking and in doing miracles. For Jesus says, heal. When you come into the cities, speak the word of peace into the house that you enter and heal those that are there. So in word and in deed, they bring Christ's word. They bring Christ's healing. You elders, as you speak from house to house, whether it be encouragement or whether it be admonition, whether it be training, you deacons, the act of compassion, healing, caring for those who have needs, you bring Christ Jesus and the message of Christ Jesus, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. What is that kingdom? It's that realm of God's redemptive work where one is set free from the bondage of sin and Satan and enters into Christ's liberty. Oh, what a message the kingdom of God is. Not the kingdom of Satan having rule over us any longer, but the kingdom of Satan is pushed aside. We are set free from sin. Set free to live and serve Christ Jesus. The kingdom of God has become nigh to thee. Oh, what a message. God's elective love is the basis of that kingdom. He has chosen us to be citizens of that kingdom, which we heard about last Sunday night. And it's Christ's electing love that is the basis of the labors of these men, elders and deacons. Christ directs us where we have to go, where we have to serve. Now, for us in the congregation, these new men, along with the other elders and deacons, serving here at this time and place. The kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. And with that message, and the laborers who bring that message, verse 16 deals with a twofold effect. By grace, oh yes, by grace, there are those who receive that good news with gladness. They receive the healing compassion of the deacons. They receive the words of admonition, encouragement, comfort, and training of the elders with gladness. They take these men into their homes with gladness. They submit to their good counsel. They recognize that it is God's will that these men rule over you. And they receive their admonitions. And given by the 70 into those homes that received them was the peace of God. Yes, they would say, God's peace or Christ's peace be upon this home. What a beautiful thing that is. That's not just a mere wish of these 70 when they went forth. But they are Christ's ambassadors, and when they speak, peace be upon this home, Christ's peace came there. No longer enemies of Christ Jesus, but friends of God through Christ Jesus. It's an effectual word. An effectual word that comes from our office bearers to the Church of Jesus Christ. Peace upon Israel. Peace upon Zion. But the emphasis in verse 16 is that there will also be those that do not receive those laborers and their message. I say the emphasis of verse 16 is that because it follows after all the warnings in the verses previous. Jesus had done his ministry along with the 12 up there in Galilee, and many of them, especially in Capernaum, Bethsaida, and Chorazin, did not receive Christ, would not receive his message. And when Christ sends out those to Samaria, they will not receive the message. They will not receive Christ. And woe unto those in Judea and Perea when they would not receive, but instead they would dismiss those messengers. They would say, go away. On those there is no peace. The 70 were to wipe the dust off their feet in those cities that would not receive them. Woe unto the Church of Jesus Christ. When Christ has appointed, when Christ has sent out these men as laborers in his field, and as representatives of himself, with the glorious message of the kingdom of God has come nigh. Woe if they are not received. Peace will not rest upon them. Why? Why is it so necessary to receive and to honor those 70 representatives of Christ? Why is it so necessary for us to receive with honor elders, deacons, pastors in the Church of Jesus Christ? And as the sermon title points out, because they are representatives of Christ. Through them, with them, through their work, Christ Jesus is pleased to gather, to build, and to preserve his church. And those who hear his representatives hear Christ himself. What a message Christ was giving to those 70. When the people listen to them, they're listening to Christ Jesus. When the people have a receptive heart and surrendered will, they have an ear to Christ's ambassadors. They're paying attention to Christ himself who has sent them, and they are paying attention to the God who has sent Christ Jesus, the office bearer of the church. even as Christ faithfully, perfectly represented His Father. These men are called to faithfully represent Christ Jesus to us. Those who hear the laborers, the representatives of Christ, hear Christ Himself. They hear the comfort that comes, "Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden." They hear the urgent call that comes, "Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ." They hear the admonition to godly living. Live as children of God, as friends of God. Be the light of the world. Be the salt of the earth. Receive them. Because the kingdom of God has come nigh to you. That is God's kingship, God's rule, God's salvation is brought unto us by them. Oh, may it be recognized by us, and may it become operative in our lives. The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. And yes, then the warning. Those who reject, those who despise, those who set aside the leadership, the labors, the representation of these men, elder, minister, deacon, reject Christ as our prophet, priest, and king. They set aside Christ, and therefore Christ is, they set aside the God who sent Christ Jesus. What a responsibility rests upon us, and that's what verse 16 is all about, our responsibility toward the laborers He sends out. What a responsibility rests upon those men placed into labor. Christ appoints you as His representatives. Oh, the lives we have to live as a representative of Christ, the Holy One. Oh, the faithful admonitions we need to give and encouragement. You deacons, not just bringing the alms of God's people, but as the forum says, with comfortable words of Scripture. Every house we go into, addressing the members and their hearts of their need for Christ Jesus and loyal citizenship in His kingdom. What a burden of responsibility rests upon those to whom these laborers are sent and with whom they work. Honor them. Receive them. Hear them. Yes, they are men. They're not infallible. Only Christ, only our God is infallible. But God has appointed them. Christ has sent them to us. Hear them. For Christ's sake, honor them. Honor them as representatives of Christ, given to you. What a gift. Paul speaks of that in Ephesians and Colossians, the gift given to the church by the office bearers. Gift to you for your salvation. Receive them. But our passage ends, these 24 verses, with joy, don't they? What a high note. The 70 come back from their mission, and they are filled with exceeding great joy. Even the demons are subject unto us in Thy name, Jesus.
Mission accomplished.
These 70 are not boasting about what they could do. Even the demons are subject unto us in thy name. They're rejoicing in the message that they brought and the salvation that God worked in the hearts and lives of people, delivering them from the dominion of Satan, setting them free in the service of Christ Jesus. So that Christ says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. The message of the kingdom is going forth through his laborers, and the kingdom of Satan is defeated. It retreats. Christ speaks of that in another place, about the necessity of the strong man entering into the strong man's house, one who is stronger than the strong man's house, in order to defeat the strong man and set free the captives. That is what the 70 saw. Men and women and children in the bondage of sin. And when they came with a message of the kingdom, not only in word, but in deeds of healing, souls set free, saved, coming to Christ Jesus. And they rejoice with great joy at the triumph of the gospel. Jesus joins them in their joy. But Jesus says there's even a greater joy. It's the joy of knowing that your names are written in heaven. It's the joy of knowing all those who hear the gospel and believe the gospel are saved, and those who labor with that precious gospel, their names are written in heaven. That's the real joy. Looking forward one day to being with Christ Jesus, where there is no more sin, there's no more trials or difficulties, there is no opposition, there's no more wolves. But we are with Christ Jesus, enjoying intimacy, friendship with Him forever and ever. And what joy for laborers in the kingdom, for you men, for those who have served us faithfully these past 3 years. The joy of hearing from your Master, well done, good and faithful servants. Enter into the joy of your Master. Receive the crown that is waiting for you. Yes, Jesus takes joy in the joy of these laborers. But then we read a little bit further. Jesus, verse 21, rejoiced in spirit. The spirit that accompanied Christ Jesus, that qualified Christ Jesus for his labor, is the spirit also who enabled these representatives, these laborers, to labor on his behalf. Christ's joy is this. Lord, Thou hast hid these things, verse 21, from the wise and the prudent. These wise and the prudent are not those who are more intellectual than others, but rather these wise and these prudent are those who are wise in their own conceits. We find that phrase in Romans chapter 11, verse 25, and we find it again in Romans chapter 12. They're full of themselves. They're proud. Those who think they know it all, they're unteachable. And Christ says, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast hid these things from those kind of people, those proud, arrogant, unteachable people. But Thou hast revealed it unto babes, those who are humble in spirit, those who are teachable, those who are given ears to hear and hearts to receive and lives to obey. Things, things about the kingdom that those earlier would love to have heard, and they saw it from afar, but they didn't know it like you and I do. Oh, the revelation of Christ Jesus. God's kingdom in Christ Jesus. Revealed to you through those laborers, those representatives of Christ Jesus. Through them, O Church of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God comes nigh unto you. What will you do with it? Amen. Father in heaven, we're thankful for the successful mission of these 70 representatives, laborers in the kingdom. And we pray for continued laborers, for the harvest is great, the labor is much, that Thou art pleased to use men in Thy service. Bless, we pray, those representatives of Christ in the church. The pastor, the elders, the deacons. In them may we see Christ Jesus, our prophet, our priest, and our King. And receiving these men, we receive Christ Jesus and His kingdom. Amen. Psalter number 344. As these 70 were to look to the one who sent them out, laborers in Christ's church and as a congregation, we too look to the one who has appointed us to salvation. I to the hills will lift my eyes, O whence shall come my aid? Let's sing all four stanzas of 344.
Oh,
our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be yours. Amen.